Welcome to the Positive Solutions for Life podcast. I'm Peggy Meyer, and I'm so excited you are here. In this and future episodes released on Fridays of each week, you will hear from other entrepreneurs, creators, and personal growth leaders through interviews and summaries of personal development books, strategies, tools, and ideas that can help you transform your mind and body from the inside out, so you can truly, truly live the life you desire. Hello and welcome again to another Friday episode of Positive Solutions for Life. Today's guest is Andrea Garrett. Andrea is the human behind the Bold Life Design, a coaching and consulting practice centered around enabling bold leaders and high achievers to play big, own their story, and go after their most audacious goals for more purpose, impact, and joy. As an executive fulfillment and leadership coach, transformational life and purpose coach, human-centric culture-building consultant, and intuitive eating dietitian, Andrea has worked with over 2,500 humans from executives to college grads. Her passion is to support individuals in letting go of everything that is keeping them from playing small. So welcome to the podcast, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm so excited for our conversation. And with that, can you share a little bit more about your personal journey and how it has led to where you are today?
Yeah, I'm a, you know, child of the 90s growing up in the Midwest. I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And, you know, I feel like when I think about from a career trajectory, one of the most informative parts of that for me was being a child growing up in a larger body than all of, you know, my friends and people in my circle, and really rumbling with that relationship with myself, with worthiness and enoughness. I mean, this is in the era of like heroin chic. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a lot of role modeling at that point, as many of us who grew up in that era and eras before that, around what it meant to, you know, have diverse bodies and to feel healthy and well and whole. And when I think about my journey to where I currently am, there was, you know, in undergrad, I was an exercise science major. In my grad school, yes, there was, you know, public health track to it, but there's also registered dietetic track to it. And when I got really honest with myself, a lot of that was gathering tools, skills, and resources in order to make my own body small, to make my own body what is conventionally beautiful or appropriate or enough. And it wasn't really until kind of those first few semesters of grad school where I was learning in my public health classes about social determinants of health and all these broader themes around what makes a person well and what makes a person feel whole, and really exploring within myself that, oof, for a lot of decades for me, it was, you know, exercise out and food in, and that plus and minus, and really just trying to make that balance come, you know, come equal for me, or, you know, have a deficit rather. And I started to explore, what is this broader theme around whole person wellness? And within my dietetics practice, moving into a space where I was coaching others and starting to, you know, really dive in very early on, and having this clear understanding that people's relationship with food and body and how they take care of themselves, mm-hmm. especially these like incredible high achieving women that I was working with, it was significantly more about their relationship with perfectionism and worthiness and imposter syndrome and stress resilience, all of these other themes that actually didn't have a whole lot to do with food. That was kind of almost like the canary in the coal mine, if you will, for some of these other places where there was misalignment. Mm-hmm. And so early on in my practice, I've, you know, had my business for 8 years. I've been coaching for about 15, really starting to peel back these layers and realize, oh, I need a broader scope in how I work with these humans. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my journey towards leadership coaching and fulfillment coaching and purpose mm-hmm. coaching, really gathering lots of tools and resources to be able to, yes, talk about food, talk about relationship with body, but making sure that we're starting with this like 30,000 foot perspective of your life first. Mm-hmm. And how you tend to your vessel empower that. So I see myself in every woman that I work with. I feel that story very personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it comes out in your passion when you're talking about it. And, you know, you talked about in your bio, you're an intuitive eating dietitian, and I'm curious about that, but how that relates to, you know, your journey of starting out with, you know, food, exercise, you know, the ins and outs, trying to like get that deficit going. And I think a lot of us still have that mentality, but you're moving towards that whole purpose, that whole person as a, in on their purpose. And so first off, what is intuitive eating? Just give us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a framework that is really, it's not another set of rules. It's a set of pillars or guidelines to help bridge the relationship that you have with food and your body to make it more grounded in your knowing, your sense of self, your relationship with your body and what your body needs. And so the first pillar of it is rejecting diet culture. It is really getting very clear on the context and getting honest, frankly, on the context that has informed where and how and why you've potentially arrived at this place of feeling misalignment or not necessarily eating disorder, but disordered eating practices. Understanding the water that we swim in collectively, yes, as you know, humans everywhere, but especially women and non-binary humans, there's a lot of systems at play to keep us kind of in this place of constriction and playing small and putting a lot of, frankly, time and energetic resources into making our bodies and beauty good enough.
Right, right. And I see a connection between, you know, us feeling like unworthy or misaligned. And then it usually, I feel like it comes out in like those disordered eating, like, or that focus on, oh, that's the thing that we can focus on. But really underneath that, it is that worthiness, or like you said, feeling good about yourself in whatever way that is, and figuring out yourself. So can you touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, in my experience and a lot of the humans that I get to the pleasure of working with, you know, food is one of the first places where you feel like you have any sort of control or any sort of means of comforting. When we think back to early childhood experiences, whatever that looks like, you know, food was maybe one of the few resources you had to comfort yourself, to navigate a challenging situation, to work through some hard emotions when you didn't really have the context or the executive functioning to do so. And so we get to really honor that early relationship with food and even how, yes, it may, those patterns may not be serving you as an adult, but my goodness, thank you to that early version of you that resourced themselves really strategically with what they had in order to find that comfort, to move through a, we didn't have language for it, but probably some self-compassion of like, this is what I'm feeling I need right now. And so as adults, it's a, how do we recognize that? How do we honor that? And how do we reclaim, okay, what is the relationship that we do want with food, how we nourish ourselves in this whole person sort of way?
Yeah. Cause that is just a direct, like, I just remember like giving a presentation one time and I was like, you know what, if you're really, really wanting a Reese's peanut butter cup, like have it, but don't beat yourself up over it. Like we have to honor like what we're feeling and needing. Hey, if that's just what you need to like get over the day, you know, but don't beat yourself up, you know, don't add insult to injury because we know it's not the best for us. There's other choices, but okay, let's go with it. Right. And so is that kind of what you're talking about a little bit, is just honoring yourself and where you're at and then finding new things that you can do?
Yes, it's, you know, this unconditional, you're an adult, right? You can make choices governed by no one else but you. And so that unconditional permission to eat and to enjoy foods and to give that permission also gives space to jump out of that deprivation, overcompensation, punishment cycle that so many of us have felt trapped in. When you give yourself that permission, you are no, foods are no longer glittery. Foods no longer have that, oh, I can't trust myself sort of quality to them. There's a capacity to build a more stable relationship with all foods. And in parallel, building other relationship and mechanism with, okay, how do I first build awareness of what am I feeling? Like, what is the thing that food is helping me tend to? Getting more clarity and language around what's the emotion, what's the experience, what is the context, what am I feeling? And I'm an adult. What other choices do I have in order to tend to that experience? Right. Food, yes, has served me or maybe not served me in certain ways, and certainly still does. We still all emotionally eat. If you've ever had birthday cake after a birthday meal when you're not actually hungry, but you want to be a part of the celebration, right? There's the emotional hunger, there's the taste hunger, just wanting to enjoy something. And then there's physical hunger. And it's starting to build a relationship with those different parts of you and those different parts of your hunger.
Right.
And what does it mean to give yourself permission to navigate all of those things?
Yeah, because they are very different.
They are very different and they exist for all of us, but we're taught, especially as women, to only adhere to this like physical hunger. And in fact, if you are not always hungry, you might be doing it wrong.
So as people move on and you are a leadership, you know, bold leadership, you know, you want to help people with their goals. How do you help them figure out those things with their purpose and aligning their goals with that?
We're so in the weeds of our life. I think that what most people are needing is just a safe, playful playground, frankly, to strategic playground to hover above those weeds, take a 30,000 foot perspective and from a lot of different angles, whether that be guided visioning or reflection or journal prompts or asking strategic questions, is trying to peel back the layers of yourself that have not, they're not that they're not there. They just might have a few. We just might need to excavate it. And so just giving people safe strategic space to do that discovery and exploration is really powerful because their lives are really noisy. And so if we can just take a step back from all that noise and get quiet, there's a lot of wisdom that our bodies hold and that our intuition holds.
What are a couple ways that you help, you know, somebody peel back those layers or uncover or excavate whatever's underneath, you know, to bring out their more fulfilling life and maybe some more joy and happiness instead of being stuck in the weeds?
Usually, I mean, there's a whole host of tools and it kind of depends on how that person, you know, where they are in their own journey and what they resonate with. But I usually start with kind of some similar places that we begin around guided visioning. So really getting somebody to that place of quiet within themselves, quiet within their bodies, some stillness, and then really walking through that journey of what do you want your life to look like in the next 2 to 3 years? And more importantly, what do you want your life to feel like? And getting more language and clarity. And I always say it might feel like a Monet or it might feel really pixelated, but if you can really tune into what was the feeling when I asked about career, what was the feeling when I asked about relationship with your body? What was the feeling when I asked about your relationships with your romantic partners or friends or community? Really getting into a place of what does a successful life feel like for me and starting to define that. Asking questions like, what does enough mean to you? I think that as to your point before, women, I mean, the system's built this way for us to constantly be scraping at enoughness, to be scraping at belonging and really coming home to that for yourself, within yourself. That's where your power lies. Women who trust themselves and trust their version of success, their version of enoughness, that's, I mean, those women change the world, whether it's the world within your home, the world within your community or broader. And so really coming to this work from a place of what do you need to really ground yourself in this is who I am and this is what I want. And then from there, building the courage capacity to give yourself permission to live and honor that.
Right. Because we often are so busy just doing things, whether it's doing work, it's doing family stuff. I know I've been just swamped, it seems like this summer with kids' activities and things, but that's just the season we're in. And sometimes we need to take that step back to be really asking ourselves those questions. Like, what do I really want? Like, what is enough? Like, and uncovering those feelings. So why is it so important to uncover the feelings of whatever it is that you're wanting? Or because I feel like it's really important.
Yeah, it is really important. And the reason I go towards the feeling first and foremost, or make that the pinnacle of what we're moving towards, is we're so inundated with what a successful life should look like. And I'm using quotes because I think that there is, right, like Instagram and TikTok and all the places, you know, LinkedIn, where there's a lot of posturing, a lot of smoke and mirrors. We're very clear on what success could look like. And the reality is, if that version of success, if you get there and it looks exactly like so-and-so or exactly like how you thought it should look, and you still don't feel successful, that's not you that's broken. That's that design around your that version of success that's broken for you. So starting from a place of, what do I want my life? What do I want my career, my vocation, my business? What do I want all of that to feel like is a much truer compass for us to move forward with.
And how does that relate? I know I want to go back to like your thought earlier about worthiness. Like, can you unpack that a little bit? And how does that relate to these feelings?
Oh, worthiness, just like that little chestnut. Like that's, you know, right there. I feel like honestly, worthiness is maybe the umbrella under which all of my work lives.
Okay.
It's this coming home to inherent worthiness. I think as women, we're again scraping for that belonging, scraping for that enoughness, scraping for worthiness from an external place. Thinking that if we do enough, if we perform enough, if we get thin enough, if we're beautiful enough, that we will get that external validation that we are in fact worthy. Ooh, and we all, I think I can speak for you and I and for, you know, audience everywhere. I think that that is where the root of a lot of our suffering is this constant need of external validation, this constant need of external, you know, grounded in worthiness, because it's not there and it's elusive. And it doesn't really ever come, or if it does, it's very fleeting. And then the finish line changes again, right? We even just the beauty metrics. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos of how the standard of beauty that's changed from, you know, ancient Egyptians all the way to present day. It's like we've had 700 billion different iterations of what's beautiful. No wonder women are constantly feeling less than.
Right.
And it's this whole reminder of, oh, there's the internal work. I need to feel worthy within myself. I need to feel at home within this body, within this being, within this purpose, and to live with that unapologetically. And I say those things, and I am not being flippant about the challenge that comes with making that commitment with yourself. And that's where true happiness, that's where true sustainable joy lives.
Right. Because we are all unique human beings. So how can we copy somebody else and be, you know, worthy of that? Because it's just a copy. It's a fake of fake of somebody else, you know, and we're not being really true and authentic to ourselves. So you do truly believe that is, you know, like you said, it's like the umbrella. It's that feeling of unworthiness, is we have to unpack that and figure out our purpose and figure out, you know, what makes us alive and what
that's right.
Know, being true to ourselves.
Yeah. And if we don't do that, we are spending our whole lives scraping for something that was never somebody else's to give us. It was always ours to give ourselves. And so that is a big part of my work, is really helping women and supporting women to bridge that relationship. I say I'm a conduit for your highest wisdom self. It is for my job to create space for you to build relationship with your intuition, with your self-trust, with this deep inner knowing of you that you are already enough, that you are already worthy.
Right. So with that, like, how do people get a hold of you to work with you? Like, what would they expect for, you know, hey, Andrea, like, I'm going to work with you. Like, what can they expect?
Yeah, well, I have underneath my coaching umbrella, I have my joy and success coaching for leaders and founders. That's at the Bold Life Design, so the BLD.com. And then I have, and you can find this through that, but I also have Bold Body Peace, which is specific to my food and body peace coaching. So if that is feeling like more of a juicy, you know, tender point for you, that might be a better space to come into. And it's me and all of it. So how that looks is you come with a conversation and you schedule that discovery call. It's a really great opportunity for us to get to know each other. I like to say it's a place for us to ask questions, both back and forth, for us to share stories and for us both to gut check. And if and only if it feels like, ooh, there's reciprocity of a vibe or an energy or that connection, right? Because coaching is it's an intimate relationship. There's a high level of trust and honesty that's required within that. And so I want to make sure that that's felt in both directions. And if that's there, then we'll talk about what's possible with coaching and what program potentially might be of highest benefit to where you're at in that. But really, it starts with that initial conversation. And there's a lot of, you know, lots of different types of coaches. So I can only speak to the type of coach that I am. I really feel like coaching should not be a place of pressure or a place of pushing in a way that's not safe. So yes, I will challenge in that conversation, but it is a sales conversation only if you are ready for it, only if you are ready to have that conversation about coaching. So if nothing else, you will get clarity on something. You will walk away with an aha. You will walk away with a resource or two. I treat it like a coaching conversation.
Yes. Yes. And where can they find out more about that?
Yeah. So that's at bullbodypeace.com. So either bullbodypeace.com for food and body peace coaching, or the BLD, THEBLD.com for joy and success coaching for leaders and founders. And that's awesome. Where we talk about courage and confidence. And again, there's overlap, but you know, if you're feeling more connection to really tackling relationship with food and body, that's a great entry point. And I have one-on-one coaching, but I also have a group and curriculum. And so there's a lot of what I have found very important is that community support around this.
Right.
Kind of as women, we need to rally around each other and hold each other accountable to these new ways of being, these new ways of thinking, and holding those truths of that water that we swim in very up close for each other.
Right. Right. And I'll put the links to those in the show notes so people can easily go ahead and grab those and get a hold of you. So as we wrap up today, is there like one thought or quote or anything that you would like to leave the listeners with?
I'll leave with actually two. So women who trust themselves change the world. So if you're really feeling this call to build your self-trust, please do so, because frankly, we need it. We collectively need women who trust themselves, who are really moving from a place of honoring their time, their energy, and their resourcing from an authentic place. So please cultivate that self-trust. And your body is the vessel to help you move mountains. It is not the mountain to move. So really giving yourself permission to step back from this constant pursuit around body and really fortify it, tend to it in a way that allows you to do that changing of the world or yourself or your community, whatever that might be.
Be the vessel that changes the world and embody that.
That's right.
So great. There's so much here. So go reach out to Andrea on, you know, in both levels of leadership, or if you're more prone to the food and body, just reach out, because there's so much there that we were not able to unpack in this short time frame that she can help you get to where you want to be, live out your purpose, and have that great relationship with your body and going out and leading the world. So thank you for joining me today, Andrea.
Thank you for having me. I'm sure you can tell from my voice, this is my passion. I'm so excited to have these conversations and bring more humans into the fold of this level of awareness within themselves.
That is absolutely true. You have a lot of passion, and go after it with all your heart, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you found some value, insights, and something that resonated with you in today's show. If today's show spoke to you, would you please share it with a friend and go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening from and subscribe to the show so that you can be the first to know when new content and episodes go live. While you're there, would you please give it some love? Please like it, comment on it, and leave a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much in advance for taking 2 minutes of your time to do this. Your likes, comments, and reviews really help get the word out to more people who need to hear there are positive solutions for their life. I would love to connect with you. You can find me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, whichever is your favorite platform, and let's have a conversation about today's show. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.